Tonight, one more time, we're going to be looking at Noah. And we're not going to be looking a lot at Noah. We're going to be in Genesis. We're not going to be in chapter 6. I went with you last week and looked at that. And we want to be this evening in chapter 8. And after Noah came off of the ark, in verse 20 it says that Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. And he's going to offer sacrifices upon that altar. That God keeps His promises, that God gives blessings, and that God has plans, even though the world that was no longer. And He offers up sacrifices upon that altar there. And we want to see what happens there. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet odor. Now what is he smelling the odor? He's smelling the faith that there is coming a perfect sacrifice. Those animals are not perfect sacrifices. They are pictures of the perfect sacrifice. And so he is smelling the odor of faith that God would provide a perfect sacrifice. Remember, those animals, they could not make any difference at all. But the perfect sacrifice would make all of the difference for all of us. So God smelled that faith that went up. You can say, well, I thought he was smelling burnt meat. No, he was smelling a sweet odor in a sacrifice that was offered up believing in the perfect sacrifice that was to come. Tonight, in this place, going up before the throne of God, do we believe that the perfect sacrifice has been offered? Then I'm telling you, God over us tonight is going, because He's smelling faith. I'm going to tell you something. He's smelling faith. Now, I know that you all feel like from time to time you've sacrificed something for the Lord. None of us have sacrificed for the Lord what Jesus sacrificed for us. He gave up all of His glory in heaven. And He offered up Himself totally in our place. So we have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in His heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore because of man. Now I want you to know something. We bring a curse to everything. Unless we have a God who can take care of a curse. If you don't believe that God can take care of a curse, and if you believe you have to take care of a curse, then you're like Abraham and Sarah whenever they didn't have a child yet and they thought God needed some help. And they brought Ishmael into the world. And Ishmael brought them nothing but heartache. But he belonged to Abraham. He was part of the family of Abraham. And God still has a plan today for Abraham's offspring. We also, whenever we are not willing, or we do not have faith in what God is going to do, we're like Isaac. Isaac knew his wife told him that God had spoken to her. Now, I know there's a lot of people that will tell you that God has spoken to you. I'd love to be able to tell you that I could name all of the people who have told me that I'm supposed to marry them. It's sad. I mean, God told them. How come I wasn't willing for that to happen? But God told him that. Now, then I know that, but he knew that God had actually spoken to his wife. Isaac knew that there would be two children that would come out of her. Sure enough, two children came out of her. And yet whenever, and the elder would serve the younger, and whenever it came time to give the blessing, he wanted to give the blessing to his elder son. He knew Jacob was supposed to receive that blessing. So we see here that he said, I will, and that problem has hung on forever and ever. They have the problem with Ishmael and Isaac. They have the problem with Esau and Jacob and all over the Middle East. A lot of that, the problems that are still there today go back to that. The things that have happened in that family. And yet God is going to solve that family's problems. And we need to believe that God is going to solve our problems too. If we've got faith, we'll leave an open door for God. All right, so let's look at this. I will not curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from the time they're very young. Now, we have some young people here every day of the week. I know that some of y'all, whenever you had that baby, you said, that's the most perfect and beautiful girl I've ever held in my life. She's so sweet and innocent. Sweet, maybe. Innocent, no. In sin, she was born, or he was born. We've all were conceived in iniquity. Sin is a part of us. Jesus, however, was not conceived in iniquity. And it says here that his heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Now then, if you're listening to the current political progenitors who are prognosticators, not the progenitors, the prognosticators, the ones that have recently come on the scene are saying, we've only got 12 years left. Now I want you to know there have been a lot of people that said Jesus was going to come back on a certain date, and they went out on a hill and they waited. A lot of people. Not all of them on the same hill. Did Jesus come back? No. Is he coming back? Yes. We wait with patience for Jesus to come back. And so we have a group of people that are saying we need to spend trillions of dollars, otherwise the world will cease in 12 years or sometime shortly thereafter. You need to read what the next verse says in verse 20. I will never again smite anymore every living thing as I have done while the earth remains. And now Jesus, the Word tells us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but His Word shall never pass away. Whatever He said, it's going to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. I'm sure all of y'all know Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It's going to return, but it's not going to return empty. It's going to accomplish what I sent it forth to do. And so He says here, while the earth remains, now then there will be a time whenever the earth is tried with fire and will be cleansed. But right now is the earth remaining pretty much the same way it's been ever since Noah. Anybody that want to say it, tell me it's not. It is. It's remaining. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. We need to be able to tell people, I know a God who has plans and He keeps all of His plans perfectly. Whenever they're telling us that everything's going to end in 12 years or 20 years or 50 years. Or, I'm telling you something for sure, the earth will not end, or will not come to, it will remain for another, at least another, 1,000 years. And we're going to live here during all of that time. Are you prepared to come back and live here during the 1,000 years? Well, you're prepared if you're living now. Can you honestly say you're alive tonight? I live for Jesus. Living for Jesus. Or can you honestly say, I live for Jesus? Because then you'll live for 1,000 years and you'll rule and reign for Him 1,000 years. And this world will once more become almost like the Garden of Eden. We're going to see it. So we want to be aware of that. And so it says here that the day and night shall never cease. Chapter 9, let's look at that. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Now, how many people came through the flood? How many people were on the ark? Eight. There were eight of them. There was Noah and his wife. How old was Noah at this particular time? Around 600. I don't know how old his wife was. Maybe she was 39. Oh, 29, pardon me. In this, I want you to know something. Every time we celebrate in this church and a group of people get together, the women are never any older than 29. If y'all tell me that you're older than that, I'm going to say that's not true. Because I'm believing whenever I see you in heaven, you're going to be, every one of you women are going to be about 29. And there's a song that used to be sung, better than ever. Okay, now all of the men are going to be about 39. But we know that Noah was about 600 years. We don't know about his wife. But we know that men and women back at that time were having children for a long time. So there's a possibility that Noah and his wife had more children. We're not told about them. God doesn't tell about everybody that gets born. But out of Noah and his wife and Ham and Shem and Japheth and their wives came all of us. We all go back to Noah. And if we say, well, if I believe I go further back, you do. We all go back to Adam and Eve. And so we're all related in some way. Now then there are some people that are unhappy with Liberty Baptist Church because they think we're haters. And we're not haters. And so we want to make sure that people understand that we do not intend to cause heartache or pain for anybody. But we believe that all people are sinners and that they need a God who takes care of sin. Amen? Okay. So it says here in verse 7, he said, and you, who is he speaking to here? Because it says back in verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, and you, that would be Noah and his sons, right? And their wives. And you be fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and his sons and him saying, behold, I establish my... Well, we've just seen a blood sacrifice. God was even at this time involved in a blood covenant with Noah. He was involved with a blood covenant with Adam later after this. I mean, not Adam, but Abraham. A starts at A. Abraham after this. He was involved in a blood covenant with Adam and Eve before this. And so we see that blood covenants have been around since the very beginning. Where God makes promises. God gives blessings. God pronounces plans. If you don't know, you don't know me if you think my plans can be all torn apart. Now then the only thing that you can tear apart about God's plans, because you're here for a purpose, every one of you are here for a purpose, and you will accomplish that purpose God will accomplish in your life. The only thing of it is, if you don't want to have anything to do with God, you won't get any joy out of it. You'll just get bitter. But He will accomplish your purpose for being here. How many of you want to find at the very end of your life that He accomplished all of His purpose, is all of His plans, and all you did was get bitter? That's all right with me, because I like bitter more than better. I don't think there's anybody here that wants to be bitter. Yet, but you see, we do choose it. We choose bitter. All right. So it says here, you be fruitful and multiply and bring forth. And God spake to Noah and his son, saying, behold, I establish my covenant with you. Remember, that's promises, blessings, and plans with you and with your seed after you. Are we his seed after him? Well, we are if we're receiving grace. Are you willing to receive grace? Because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, the cattle, and everything that goes on, I will establish my covenant with you, verse 11. And neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by waters of the flood, neither shall there be any more flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token, this is the seal. You're going to see this seal often. And this is the token of the covenant which I make with you, and we still see this seal today. Now, make between me and you. Now then, I want y'all to know that if you know how to be able to take water and spray it properly, you can make a rainbow with water, but only God can make a rainbow in the sky. You can't do that. And it shall be for perpetual generations. How long is God going to make that covenant? That covenant with Noah for perpetual generations. How many generations is that? Without end. As long as there are men, God is making that blood covenant. I do set my rainbow in the clouds, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And everybody will say, is not God? Is that not God's seal that He will keep His promises, that God will give blessings, and that God will make plans that will come to pass, plans that will change everything about sinners? And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. That's every living creature, cattle, dogs, horses, every living creature, the birds that fly in the air. God is remembering the covenant that He has made between, and us, the covenant between us and everything that is alive. God says He will remember His covenant. Aren't you glad tonight that when God looks down, He's remembering His covenant? I am. And God said unto Noah, this is the token, have I already done this, which is established between me and all the flesh. And the sons of Noah that went forth out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. And these are the three sons of Noah that were upon the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman. Y'all know what that means, don't you? He planted a vineyard. And he was a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine, and he was drunken. Do you know that we're given a very specific scripture in the New Testament about drinking wine? You'll say, well, I didn't think we were supposed to drink any wine. And somebody's going to have told you, well, you're told to drink grape juice. You can drink grape juice, but you can't drink wine. You all do know that if wine has the proper conditions and settings, and if you try to store it away, there is already something in wine that will make it try to ferment. Are you all aware about wine? I mean, it may not be the best fermented wine that there is, but grape juice will try to ferment. And after it's been stored away for a while, it's either useless or you don't want to taste it, you don't want to have anything to do with it. It's become vinegar or it's become wine. And so you can drink grape juice probably about 3 or 4 months out of a year. And after that, it's wine. And in, what am I looking at? Am I looking at Ephesians, the 5th chapter? 5th chapter, verse 18. Oh yeah, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And it says, be not drunk with wine. Well, I'm wondering, did Noah know he wasn't supposed to get drunk? Or was he already an alcoholic? And he just said, one time, I'm so proud. Look at what's happening. This is wonderful. We're going to live so well. And my family, I think I told you all last week that alcoholism runs deep. Most of y'all, I pray that y'all never have anything to do with that. But it runs deep. There was a time whenever I'm pretty sure that I was headed towards being an alcoholic. I'm so very thankful for a God who has delivered me from that. And if you have a problem with alcoholism, I will pray with you. I will support you. I will be with you. I will not get drunk with you, but I will be with you. If you've got a loved one who's having a problem like that, I will not run away from them. I'll be glad to be able to be with them and to speak the good news to them. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye in the process of being filled with the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity to have something better than a great party, and we're done like I did earlier. How many of you all were not here whenever I pulled the pulpit down? Y'all didn't get to see that. Well, I did. We were having choir practice. I told them I had a long day, and I told them I felt like my grandfather's hunting dogs. How many of y'all ever seen hunting dogs after they've been out hunting all night long? Thank you. Y'all know what that looks like then, because it's sad what they look like. They come in the morning. They have run all night long. Men have just kind of trotted along behind them, keeping up, looking to where they're going, see if they've got a raccoon treed or a possum treed. And everything like that. But the dogs are on the hunt, and they do it all night long. And when they come in the morning, they're absolutely worn out, and they hurt all over, and they lay around on the ground and shake and groan. Y'all ever seen dogs like that before? Must be something wrong with my grandpa's dogs. Because they would do like that. They would shake like that all day long and maybe into the next day. My grandpa rarely took them out 2 nights in a row, because he wanted hunting dogs. He loved going hunting. And so those dogs, though, whenever he would be maybe looking like he might be going out the next night, they'd be going, oh, oh, take us with you. But with Jesus, I want to be just like a hunting dog. Take me with you. Lead me. even if it leaves me kind of where I'm pulling the pulpit down. So the people in the choir tonight got to see me shake around a lot. And it says here, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but being filled in the Spirit. How do we know we're being filled with the Spirit? Well, there's a way. Here it says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Did you make melody in your heart to the Lord tonight when we came together? You are being filled with the Spirit. That's one of the ways that you know. There are other ways. So we get back to Noah now. And Noah drank, verse 21 of chapter 9. And Noah drank of the wine and was drunk. And he was uncovered within his tent. Now then, I want you to know something. I'm sure that Noah knew that there was, you're only supposed to drink so much. Maybe he's just been through such a rough patch. I'm sure y'all have never heard an alcoholic talk like that. I've been through a rough patch. You can say, Brother Phil, is it possible that you were an alcoholic? Yeah, I've said those words myself. I've been through a rough patch. Just another. Maybe two or three or ten. You know? Did he know that he was doing something wrong? His son also has a sin problem. We know that Noah is a sinner. We know that his son is a sinner too. For some reason, he likes to dominate other people in their weakness. That's a horrible sin problem. But is it any worse than being an alcoholic? What he had Noah done to his sons before, whenever, if he was, I'm not saying he was, but if he was an alcoholic, what had he done to them in his alcoholic stupor whenever he was living the life that he was? And I'm not putting people down that are alcoholics. That's just one of the ways to be a sinner. There are so many ways to be a sinner and for it to be showing that you're a sinner. And it says here that Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers. Well, he'd done more than seen. He took advantage of him. We don't know exactly how he took advantage of him. Maybe he went in and he took a magic marker and he put on his forehead, drunk across his forehead. We kind of have an idea that they'd have magic markers back then, so that's probably not what it was. I mean, we can imagine the very worst of all possible things. We don't know. But to see the thing of it is, your sins affect your children. That's why you need a God who takes care of your sins. You need to be in a covenant relationship with a God who takes care of your sins. If you're not in a covenant relationship, all you did was just eat too much of one type of fruit one night, like Adam and Eve. And a few years later, your oldest son grows up to be a murderer. You never know how sin is going to manifest in somebody. And so we see here that Noah was a sinner. We see that Ham was a sinner. Now here's the thing. Ham has a thing, because he's a sinner, it affects his own children. And there are people, whenever I was growing up, I know that y'all never heard this before, but in my family, I knew why that black people were supposed to be other people's slaves. Did y'all ever hear that? And it was because of this. So they're always supposed to be slaves. God's not interested in people ever being slaves. There's neither male nor female. There is neither rich or poor. There is neither bond or free. We're all one in Jesus, all of us. And so we see here that is one of the lies that was told in America for generations about people supposed to be slaves. If there's anybody that's supposed to be a slave, it would be me. Not you, not anybody else. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, so they could not see him. They didn't want to look upon him. They didn't want to take advantage of him. Maybe the only thing that happened was Ham went in and saw him drunker than a skunk and in such a disarray and came out and said, "You wouldn't believe the old man. You wouldn't believe what he looks like in there. That's the most pitiful thing. I can't wait. I'm going to tell everybody." We don't know what it was that he did, but we know that he was a sinner. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And when Noah awoke from his wine, I guess that means he's getting over his drunk, and knew what his younger son had done to him. Now, I want you to know that there are all types of things that they say that his younger son had done to him. But whatever it was, Noah knew. And he said, cursed be. He said, what you've done. He's talking to Ham now. He says, what you've done, you've cursed your own children. Do you have a God who's going to take care of your sins? Do you understand how important it is to have a God who's going to take care of your sins? You need a God who's going to take care of your sins. Because if you're in some kind of rebellion, if you're in some kind of, I've never done anything that bad, that's exactly what Adam and Eve said. And so he said, you've cursed your own children. And your children will, there will be a thing that will happen in their lives. There will be a thing the way that they're treated by others. And because of your sin, they won't be able to be all they can be. Is there anybody in here that's willing to say, I really don't know whether I need to tell my children about God or not because, you know, that's their problem. Well, basically, that's what Ham was willing to do. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. And he said, the children of Ham will become servants to the children of Shem. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the dwell in the borders of Shem. Any of it, I think most of us in here are either Shem or we are Japheth. If you're Native American, you're Shem. If you're European, you're Japheth. If you're some sort of a mixture between Native American and European, then you're a mixture of Shem and Japheth. And it says here that Japheth shall dwell in the borders of Shem, and Canaan shall also be his servant. I want you to know something. God does not intend for a curse to pass down generation after generation after generation. He wants you to trust in a God and a Savior who can break the curse. Amen? And it says, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years. How old was he when the flood was over? About 600. He lived 350 years. How old was Adam whenever he died? Does anybody remember? A little bit more, 930. How old was the oldest man who ever lived? Methuselah. He lived how long? 969. He only lived 19 years more than Noah did. And Noah was a sinner. I want you to know something. God intends for you to have fullness of days. Somebody comes to you with an evil report and said, you need to get your house in order. You need to trust in God and do like the king of Judah that turned his back to the wall or his head to the wall and prayed, Lord, remember your servant. When's the last time you asked God to remember you as His servant? You're a sinner. Can you actually ask God to remember you as His servant? And God gave that man 15 more years. God wants to give you fullness of days, brother. God wants to give you fullness of days, sister. We're all sinners. God has plans for us. And all the days of Noah were 900. And 50 years. Even though he was a sinner, God didn't cut him off. God's not interested in cutting us off. He's interested in giving us fullness of days. So I want us to go to another scripture in here about Noah. And we want to go to Hebrews 11:7. Noah was mentioned even though he was a sinner. And he caused his own son to commit a sin. And his own son caused his children for their lives to be less. Noah is mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which we know is the Hall of Fame of faith. And so we're in the 11th chapter and we're going to be in verse 7. And it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What was he warned of? It's going to rain. It's going to be a flood. Now then, y'all remember several years ago whenever there was an earthquake off the coast of Japan, and several years ago, whenever there was an earthquake somewhere around the Indonesian islands, and there was a great tsunami that erupted in each one of those. Well, that's a big wave. That's not the same thing as a flood. But he was warned of a flood. A flood means rain falling down from heaven. Do you all realize that it says of things not seen as yet, until the flood came, the rain falling down, they had never seen rain before. Did you realize that? There was a dew, a heavy dew that came up every night and watered the face of the earth. Now then, let's consider that heavy dew that came up every night to the blessings of God. Do you think that God wants to water your life? Maybe He wants to water your life with you being filled with the Spirit of God. You know? So there was a heavy dew that came up every night. So he was warned of God, of things not seen as yet, the flood or the results of the flood, moved with reverence and fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. Now then, it wasn't necessary for everybody in the world to come by and see him building this ark. Because he cut trees off for miles in a circle all around where he was. The word got out. What in the world is Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, what are they doing? And people were constantly asking. And they, I don't know if they were real good salesmen going out and evangelizing the community. I don't think they were, because not too very many people believed that what was getting ready to happen. But they prepared. Are we prepared? I've recently, what is the name of that group? And I'm going to have to find it again and be able to share it with you. But there's a group that is saying that we need to leave seeds of hope behind for when we're called out of here. Have I not told you that we need to leave notes, letters, and cards behind to people saying, trust God, trust God, trust God? I mean, that is going to be a very horrible time in the world, and yet there will be a great number of people who are going to come through to the other side, and we will come back and help them to live the most amazing lives that are possible through that 1,000-year reign. And so he condemned the world. And we are, in a sense, when we go out of here, the world is condemned a second time. It's not going to be where everybody dies. But there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, I wish I could die. I never thought I would have to put up with this pain. I never thought I'd have to put up with this situation. And he condemned the world, and became the heir of righteousness. Guess what comes with righteousness? Because Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. What was Abraham believing? That God wanted to make promises, and God wanted to give blessings, and God had plans to give to him that would be amazing. And Abraham believed God. And he ended up living with those promises, those blessings, and those plans. Now then, I want you to know something. So did Noah. I'm telling you, we're all sinners. God has promises and blessings and plans. And somebody ought to be going, thank God. I was sure. I was almost at the end. No! You can trust Him tonight. You can believe in this God who wants to keep His promises. You can believe in this God. He wants to covenant with you as He covenanted with Noah and with his sons. As He put His bow in the sky so that He would remember His covenant and we would remember. We have a God who will never allow the world to be destroyed again. You need to remember that whenever they start talking about China's building up all this nuclear arsenal and everything's getting ready to go to pieces and the world's falling apart and there's all these horrible things that are going to happen. And guess what? God's still on the throne and He has promises, blessings, and plans to give to people who believe in Him. Don't forget, a week from this Wednesday night will be our next blood covenant night when we get to celebrate and do our little part. And so let's all stand.